with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.
All right, welcome back to episode 19 of Something Wrong With The Podcast. It's your boy Julian. Before I go anywhere, call this number, 877-557-SWWP, to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. I'm a little under the weather, and I'm not sick. I think I just ate something that, well, I know I ate something that's not sitting well with me. And last night, watching the Knicks game, which we'll get into in a second, obviously. I'm eating. I order from this Thai spot all the time. I'm eating a meal, a pad see ew. I've had this 1,000 times. And then as soon as I finish eating, I feel like my stomach expand to an uncomfortable extent. And I generally don't like feeling full or having that feeling. But this was different. Proper bloating, and it felt like someone took a balloon and like pumped it up in my stomach and then just like tied it off and then just there. So it's like I just have like this knot still. Honestly, my stomach is fucked right now. So anyway, I try to like, I'm like, okay, is this like a matter of me, you know, like relieving myself? Do I need to burp? Do I need to sit on the toilet? Like, what is it? Try that. Nothing comes out. Nothing's happening. I try to get in bed at like a reasonable hour to go to bed. And my stomach is just like, no. So I throw on a movie. I throw on like the Entourage movie. But I'm exhausted. Like I'm trying to go to sleep. But the pain, and I still feel it. It's like there's like a pressure. It's just like a constant. It feels like someone's just pushing out from inside my stomach. So then before I went to bed, I made lemon ginger tea because I know that that's good for digestion and helps settling your stomach. Did not help at all. So then I keep waking up, and no joke, everybody. I went to bed at probably around midnight. I toss and turn every 3 to 5 minutes until 9 a.m. I saw the sunrise. And it wasn't like I was awake and on my phone like, damn, I guess I'll just do phone stuff because I can't sleep and doom scroll. I was actively trying to sleep for that entire 9 hours. I was literally I was rolling on the left, laying on my back, rolling on the right. And then the only time I grabbed my phone, this is like when the sun was coming up, I Googled, you know, remedies for how to treat a bloated stomach. And a lot of them were not anything that would be immediate relief. One of them being walk around, which I wasn't going to go outside and walk around that early in the morning. But anyway, I am not feeling the best right now. Stomach is still going through it. I had a sip of water and that kind of threw my stomach in like a whirlwind. So we'll see if I eat today. I already told myself I'm not going to go to the gym. I don't want to like expend that much energy with like no food or nutrition, but yeah, weird night. I honestly haven't had a night like that in a while where I just haven't been able to sleep at all. It was actually terrible. And then I was like getting hot and I was like, am I sick? I don't know. It was stupid. Anyway, to the important things, the Knicks, while my stomach was twisting and turning, a bit of a roller coaster, as was this game. So I had friends go to a bar to watch the game. I said, look, I want to stay home. I'm tired of doing these in public. I can't take the agony around other people that I don't know. So I'm in here and I got my projector with the game on, and the Knicks go down early bad. Tibbs tries a new lineup. I'm not against it. Mitch played great. I love Mitch's hustle on the boards, but also just like he's a great off ball and switch defender. And he played a hell of a game. He ended up on the night with 6 boards, 6 points, which is, you know, really all you can ask for a guy like Mitch. So he gets a starting nod over Josh Hart's spot. Josh Hart had a comment or two about losing his spot, saying, you know, I've been the 10th man. I've been the third man. I've been the number one option. Like, no matter what, I'll be ready when my number's called. Very like professional, great response. And we go down pretty bad early. And then like every game this playoffs for us, as soon as we go down by 20, that's when stuff clicks and we really ramp it up. Which is more impressive in this one because, you know, doing it on the road in Indiana is no joke. I still can't believe we let game one slide, but this could be deflating for Indiana the way in which game one was for us. So we'll see. So we tie it up, I believe, at 98, and then Brunson hits a really tough floater to put us up by two. And then from there, now we're playing with the lead. We're kind of going back and forth, but the Knicks, for the most part, have the lead. We didn't see any minutes from Campaign, which I loved. I have not been a huge fan of his style of play, honestly, throughout the whole year, but certainly in the playoffs. We did see some good minutes from Josh Hart. He did have that game-like ceiling rebound, which was insane, where he soared out of the shot. He ended up with 10 boards and 8 points. He, you know, like he said, when his number's called, he'll step up. He hit a couple big free throws, which is huge for someone, you know, that hasn't been playing all night, to come up off the bench and knock them down when they count. And although he didn't start, Josh did have 34 minutes. So it's not like he, you know, was kind of bumming around. Miles McBride, again, is proving his worth. Great lift off the bench. He ended up with 9 points. He's really been a great rock. And then we saw some new minutes from some guys on our bench that haven't been playing much, if at all. Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright. They stepped up and stepped in when they were needed, especially Shamet. Shamet had a few really great plays. And then, you know, let's just get to the big dogs. Cat took over at the end there. He had that great and-one dunk. He had a couple big threes. Like, Cat, you got to earn your keep, man. You're the face of New York alongside Brunson. You got to play like it. You know, we can't just let Brunson go iso ball, dribble the clock down to 5 seconds, and then heave up a shot and hope for an offensive rebound or make. Cat fucking got the ball, did his thing, took over when he needed to, and really delivered. So Tuesday is important. Well, today, if you're listening to this, is extremely important. We need to go back home to New York even. I will not feel good about this if we go down 3-1 tonight. So really excited to see how the rest of the series plays out. I really don't care at all about the series in the West, to be honest. Minnesota smacked OKC, but I don't care. Like, I just want my Knicks to get in, man. Come on, bring us to the finals. Hard pivot. I thought it was a joke when I saw this, but then I should have known it wasn't a joke because you'll see in a minute. Miss Rachel, beloved child star, and you know, if you have a young kid, they count with Miss Rachel. They learn a lot from her. She's their virtual mother. She's under fire right now because she had a child from Gaza on her show who I believe lost both of her legs. So let's read this here. Children's YouTube star Miss Rachel met a 3-year-old girl from Gaza who lost her legs in an Israel airstrike attack on her home during the war to record a video to raise awareness of the suffering of Palestinian children. How dare she? Who does Miss Rachel think she is? She's Hamas, obviously, right? I think she just revealed her cards. I think she, as a New York woman, is funded with her apartment on the Upper West Side by Hamas. Now, obviously, like, Miss Rachel's getting like killed for this, and it's on brand. Like, this is what you would expect from a certain group of people who value, there's clearly just no value of children's lives, and there's no value of equality. It's always funny when like shit like this, it's not funny, it's tragic as fuck, but when stuff like this happens and it just really, you can't help but be who you are, and it exposes the dark truth of the vision which you have for a certain group of people, how they are lesser than and how their lives aren't even worth platforming, you know, at all. And mind you, she also said, like, you know, she called for peace across, you know, all children globally. But when you include all and you're not just making it very clear that you're rooting for the home team, then it ruffles a lot of feathers. So it's just, I don't know. I feel bad for her because I think she did this out of the goodness of her heart. But this is here's a quote from her. It's sad that people try to make it controversial when you speak out for the children that are facing immeasurable suffering, she says during an exclusive wide-ranging sit-down interview. I think it should be controversial to not say anything. She tells the interviewer that after hearing firsthand accounts from Gaza and seeing videos online that, quote, silence wasn't a choice. She continues, as a teacher, you care about all kids, right? God forbid. And I think that with so many years of teaching, you just see them all so similar. They all love to laugh and they love to learn and they love to play and they deserve to play. Pretty simple stuff. I feel for Miss Rachel. It sucks that, you know, now she's, I'm sure she'll accidentally find a rope around her neck one of these days somewhere. Who's to say? But I let the public bashing and smear campaign of a woman spreading education and love begin, because clearly her priorities are out of whack. They don't align with our current administration. The pro-Israel group asked the DOJ to investigate Miss Rachel over posts on Gaza children. Have a good luck, Rachel. I mean, Jesus. In a letter on Monday, the group Stop Anti-Semitism. Is it anti-Semitic to what? Okay, sorry. The group at Stop Anti-Semitism formally requested the Department of Justice to determine whether Miss Rachel, whose real name is Rachel Griffin, whatever, is, quote, being Hamas aligned propaganda to her millions of followers, claiming her social media posts about Palestinian children in anguish could constitute undisclosed work for foreign entities. Quote, given the vast sum of foreign funds that have been directed towards propagandizing our young people on college campuses, we suspect that there is similar dynamic in the online influencer space, Stop Anti-Semitism's director said in a letter shared with the New York Post. Yes, it's those 18-year-old children on the college campus that are taking fat checks from Hamas, and Miss Rachel, who's also just receiving dozens of money from terrorist organizations to call for peace. Could you imagine that? Paying that much money for the message of calling for peace? Could you believe how fucking rude of her? I can deeply, here's a quote from her in an Instagram post, Miss Rachel. I care deeply for all children, Palestinian children, Israeli children, children in the U.S., Muslim, Jewish, Christian children, all children in every country. To do a fundraiser for children who are currently starving and who have no food or water, who are being killed, is human. I really like how she's been handling these responses. She's kind of just, you know, wakening up the just taking like a strong stance on like the human angle, which is really, it is that simple. I mean, we saw over the past weekend there were about 14,000 or so Palestinian children at risks of losing their lives. Most of the malnutrition now were, you know, 9 months in? How many months? How many months into this are we? I don't know. But we're looking at now it's not even enough for, you know, missiles and it's 19 months in at into the war. Pardon me. But now it's like gunshots and missiles are one thing. But now we're seeing the long term effects of not proper nutrition. 9,000 children who have been treated for malnutrition this year, according to the UN and Children's Agency and food security experts say tens of thousands of cases are expected in the coming year. So it really is just like a matter of the Israeli army playing like the long game. And, you know, once you decimate the schooling, the housing, and the hospitals, and then you're pinching out all food supply as well. It honestly is just a waiting game, and they're by no means are they stopping sending lobbing fucking missiles and bombs, but in the meantime they can also just rely on, you know, let the body eat itself, and you're looking at children that need basic nutrition just to obviously survive, but they're just, you know, this shit is so fucking awful. For more than 2 months, Israel has banned all food, medicine, and other goods from entering the territory that is home to some 2 million Palestinians as it carries out a wave of airstrikes and ground operations. Palestinians in Gaza rely almost entirely on outside aid to survive because Israel's offensive has destroyed almost all the territory's food production capabilities, which is, yeah, what I just said. So yeah, I mean, we're, you know, almost 2 years into this. We're rounding the corner, and it's important that people like Miss Rachel, who have such a positive influence, especially to kids. Her demo is literally children, to come out and speak up and say something that could, you know, influence people, or at least like open the eyes. It always starts with the next generation. So if there's children. I know she's serving a very young demo, but if there are kids that can understand or comprehend her message of all kids are equal, I think it starts there. And then hopefully that ripple effect can go through the children, through all the way up to the parents that run the household. And you just, at the basic level of humanity, value everybody's life the same. I don't think that's too hard to ask for. I don't think that's like a matter of Palestinian and Israeli children. I just think that that's like a universal truth that like no child, no newborn's life is less important than someone else's in another country. In a bit of music news, Kendrick's Grand National Tour, he finished his residency at SoFi Stadium back home in LA, and in doing so broke another record. The Grand National Tour currently grossed over $112.5 million. This eclipsed the rapper star's previous Big Steppers tour, which grossed $110.8 million in 2023. He also was nominated for, I believe, 10 AMA Awards, leading the way. Him and, I believe, Taylor Swift were the leading nominees. He's nominated for Song of the Year, obviously being Not Like Us. I'm still waiting for like when that threshold of this song stop getting nominated for everything comes. I feel like, how many more awards can this thing win? Not hating, it's just like, all right, like, Jesus. Kendrick, I mean, the tour looks great. I've been seeing a lot of footage. I saw Justin Bieber pop out in LA. That kid can't go anywhere without all the conspiracies about his health coming into question. People were breaking down and dissecting his interaction with SZA on stage, and then also looking at his cryptic Instagram post following the show. I don't know, man. I hope the best for Justin. I've said it for years. I miss Black Bieber. I want him to put out another Journals. So if he starts popping up at Black events, doing stuff with Black artists, and like is just kind of, you know, off of that like Hollywood Hills shit, I'd love it. Welcome back, Justin. Keep doing whatever you're doing. Drake, in the rival news, Drake was seen at Kai Cenat Stream University. He gave a guest pre-recorded speech, which was great. I think Drake is really smart at integrating himself to the younger generation. He had a comment. He said in his speech that these are the everyone in this room is the next wave of media. You are the faces of new media, and I think it's really smart for him to. I think it's genuine, but also because of his friendship with Kai, but also he understands the value of getting in early with a lot of these guys because, you know, who's to say the next Kai or the next Speed or whoever wasn't in that room? More likely that they were. And now they have a rapport or a reference with Drake, and they'll always basically you'll stick your neck out for Drake because he was someone that was with you from the beginning. He was someone that spoke to you on these stream universities. He popped into your stream and left a comment, or like, you know, join your video when you were live in this dorm room. They're shooting the Stream University thing at Akron, Ohio's campus in the University of Akron. Really genius idea by Kai. If you're not familiar, basically it's, he created a college for streamers. So he sent out acceptance letters to some of the top young streamers, and they're all living in the dorm, in a dorm setting, and doing classes and collab. It's really just like a collaborative camp. It's like a writing camp for rappers, basically. Dipping in and out of each other's streams, like co-promoting each other, cross-pollination, which is really smart. But I think Drake does a really good job of pushing himself into those spaces to continue to have the youth, to have the kids behind him, because half of these kids are, you know, the fucking half of Drake's age, but there's so much value in their platforms that are rapidly growing after this Stream University thing. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm curious to see who from that world really takes off and takes advantage of it. Admittedly, I don't really watch these streams. I only consume them via Twitter clips or Instagram stuff, but it's, I mean, there's obviously a huge market for it, and I think it's pretty interesting. All right, let's do a voicemail. Just a reminder, call in at 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. We have a long one today, so bear with me. We'll see how this goes.
Hey, Julian. My name is Amanda. I was calling to get your advice on something, so obviously I'm calling the line. I've been talking to this guy since January, so it's been about 5 months or so. And the last time him and I were together, I snuck a little picture of him while he was out of the car. I guess I could say it. I don't know, smoking a blunt. And like, it was a quick snapshot. I saw him on the rearview mirror. I thought he was looking so good and fine. So I'm like, you know, let me take a picture of him, right? So recently I told him, I said, you know, I took this picture of you. I hope you didn't mind. And he got really upset. So he didn't even answer me. He just disliked the picture at first. And then I told him I'll delete it if he thinks it's weird. So I deleted it, and then he never replied to me. So then the next morning I text him, and, you know, trying to see what's going on, like, and I said, you know, I hope I didn't make it weird. I just thought you looked really good in the moment and I wanted to capture it. Then I forgot I even had it in my phone, which I did, until I started clearing out my phone. I wasn't trying to do too much or make things awkward, but if it weirded you out, I understand. So he then replies, it's weird, yeah, but the disgusting part is the lack of character, privacy, respect, and consideration towards me in the situation. For you to risk all that for your own selfish moment, it's very telling, and I believe you. Soon as I show respect, y'all show me why you don't deserve it.
That's a little over the top. I mean, a little. That's over the top. That's it. I mean, clearly, that's, he's making it about this photo, but there's a lot more to that, that he's using this as an opportunity to project and make it about something that seemingly isn't the biggest deal in the world.
So I thought that was, like, crazy. So I told him, I understand that's how you feel, and I won't take that away from you. But let's be clear, I didn't take that picture to disrespect you, violate your privacy, or be selfish. I shared it because in that moment it felt warm to me and genuine. And I even offered to delete it if it made you feel uncomfortable. It wasn't some calculated act. I'm human. I expressed myself. And I expressed something that meant something to me. If that translated as disrespect to you, then I truly acknowledge that. But the attack on my character and calling it disgusting, that's heavy and it's not fair. I'm always open to honest conversations, but not to being shamed for being vulnerable. Can't even say that word. I already see where this is going, and I'm not going to argue my character with someone who's chosen to misread my intentions. So I just let him go from there. But I wanted to get your opinion on it. Was I really wrong for taking that snapshot? I almost want to cry right now. I'm sorry. But was I wrong for taking that snapshot? It was a genuine thing. I didn't feel at that time like it was selfish.
Oh.
But I'm just a little sad at the way that he took it. Anyway, thank you for hearing me out. Thank you for your advice. I look forward to hearing what you have to say, and keep doing your thing with
the show. Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you, Amanda. I'm going through here because I have the transcript up as well. First of all, you smoked your response to his initial message. I think he used this photo as an opportunity to remove himself from, I think he, you know, may have gotten cold feet, could be scared, was waiting for an out of your relationship. And he made something that seemingly is not the biggest deal. I can see how someone says, hey, don't take a photo of me. But if it's someone you're intimate with and someone you care for, it shouldn't be like, you know, the biggest deal in the world. And I could see how he would just use that as an opportunity to be like, this is it. I can't be with someone that does shit like this. When clearly I think he's using that to mask for something else. I think kudos to you, like for real, round of applause for how you responded. You didn't fold. You didn't apologize in a submissive way. You, because you're right, your intentions weren't bad, and nor was the act that much of an offense in itself. I mean, yeah, like if you didn't want the photo to be taken, fine, I can understand that. But it's not like you did something that's like, it's not like you posted it or sharing this everywhere, put on your story or whatever. I'm reading this over now. Express yourself. That's heavy and that's not fair. I'm always open to being honest conversations, but I'm not ashamed for being vulnerable. Vulnerable, as you said. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. I think, I know you got emotional at the end here because I think you're still looking at this situation as if you did something wrong. And fine, the initial act of taking the photo, we can fucking debate that to the end of time. Point is, in his response and your response, you did a very good job of putting things into perspective and letting him know your truest and your intentions with the image itself. And I think this is one of those cases where you ultimately avoided a bullet. You dodged a bullet here because it seems like this guy was just waiting for something to blow up over. If it wasn't this, it would have been something else. It would have been you, you know, not turning the lights off in the apartment, or you know, leaving the door unlocked. Like, there would be some minor offense that would lead to him having this level of outburst, which isn't fair to you, because then you're scrambling looking for, am I a bad person? Did I inherently do something wrong, which you didn't? I mean, this is like base level gaslighting, it seems. So I think you're good for yourself to get out of it. It is the summer. June is around the corner. We just had Memorial Day weekend, so I guess the summer officially started. Happy Memorial Day, by the way. I didn't start the episode with that. But take your time. Don't dwell on this at all. I really wouldn't spend too much time beating yourself up about this. Take what you can from this experience and then just enjoy your summer. I'm sure you sound like a sweet person. I'm sure you have a bunch of friends and family that, you know, if you want to talk more with them, you can. But I don't think this is something worth, you know, crying over again, for sure. I thank you for being vulnerable and having an emotional moment when you call in, but this is not something you need to be beating yourself up over at all. And I wish you an amazing summer, and I think you're a very good person based on this interaction here, and you also are someone that is willing to stand up for themselves and push back in a healthy way. You didn't make this more than it needed to be. You handled it well, and this is how it ends. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you guys. Thank you everybody for tuning in. I'm really sorry. My stomach, it is like someone is punching me from the inside trying to escape. This is one of the most uncomfortable feelings. You know, when you have like an appreciation for just nothingness, I mean that in the sense of like, if you ever burn your tongue or you have like a cold tooth or you have a hangnail or something, just like a minor inconvenience, and it just kind of consumes your whole being, and it really makes you appreciate the feeling of nothing when you're just full on 100% health and you could just go on about your day and not have anything, you know, clicking, clacking or anything dangling or hanging that is, you know, keeping you up at night. I don't wish this stomach bloat shit on anybody. This is honestly has been an awful night. And I really hope they say it can last a few days. I really hope it goes by tomorrow. I play basketball tomorrow night, so it better be gone by tomorrow. Oh, damn. I'm playing during the game, aren't I? Oh, I got to figure out a way to do that. Oh, that's actually... Damn, do I cancel tomorrow? I'll figure it out. Anyway, guys, point is, I love you all. Amanda, you in particular. Keep calling in, everybody. 877-557-SWWP. This is episode 19. Have a great week. Enjoy the short work week. Peace. Nothing wrong with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.